I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Time to talk to the president, Chris Kennedy. He joins us now. Chris, thank you very much for coming on the program, as always.
You're welcome, Glenn, and good evening.
All right, so all the changes this year, all the different parts, general manager, Matt Jordan, new coach, as you look at it from up above and see how everything's working, how are you feeling as the president?
I'm very pleased, Glenn, to see the progress that we've made. We outlined last fall some of the things that we wanted to achieve with all of these changes, the objectives we had in mind. And as I sit here, I can see those things starting to take shape. One of the objectives was to have a better scouting network and to be more aggressive in scouting. And as an example, Matt just spent the last week or so in Spain scouting, getting out in front of needs that we may have in the future. And, of course, everybody knows that he went to Spain during the offseason and to Argentina as well to solidify two key signings for us. So I believe we've significantly improved in that area. And another area where we wanted to improve was in fitness and sports science. And Paul Caffrey has come in, and for anybody who's been down to a training session and watched him working with the players and seeing how they go through their fitness routines and how well the players' bodies are monitored and the workouts are, it's really good. So those are just two small examples, but I could go on and take up your whole radio show. The bottom line is I'm seeing progress, and we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, a lot of exciting times. How about stylistically, purpose of play? I think people are beginning to cue in that, you know, things are different, and this team does have a different playing style and is continuing to hone and nurture that under Owen Coyle.
Well, clearly there's a different style of play, no doubt about that. I think folks can see that when they watch the game. One thing, regardless of the style, I think it's obvious to see that Owen goes into every game with a very clear and set game plan that he tries to execute and the players try to execute, and you can see that game plan in effect. At times, it hasn't worked out in terms, with the game plan and the strategy, but all in all, you can tell that they're playing with a purpose, as you said, and that's been very interesting to follow.
Chris, after the 4-4 draw, I'm taken out of the disappointment of not taking the full 3 points, not being able to see that game out. I'm taking it away from a coach's perspective. Strictly from the entertainment perspective, the reaction from fans to me was pretty remarkable.
Well, there's no doubt that was a good advertisement for Major League Soccer. If I were neutral myself and could strip the emotion out of it, I would have been, over the moon about that match. All the drama it had, the storylines, the back and forth, the controversy, the ending, you name it. It had a little bit of everything, great goals. So good crowd, good energy, all those things. It was a wonderful advertisement for Major League Soccer. Unfortunately for us, being the Dynamo and our fans, we felt a little sour at the end, but I know you're trying to put that aside for this discussion.
Yeah, but, great goals, and it was a night where the place was electric, the building was electric, and, when you think about that crowd, it was a great crowd. Those people walk away going, that's entertainment. Yeah, we're disappointed we didn't get the full 3 points and the team didn't see it out, but it truly was an entertaining night. There was just a different vibe in the air.
Yeah, I think we were going through this in a meeting the other day. None of us could recall, for those that had been here since day one, an eight-goal match at either Robertson Stadium or here at BBVA Compass Stadium. I think there was a 4-3 match once, seven goals scored. So just in the fact that the most goals were ever scored is entertaining. But to your point, some of the referees' decisions and just other things made it even more entertaining for the fans.
Night of chaotic, yet some incredible plays and big emotion between the Dynamo and Sporting Kansas City. All right, let's go back to what you were saying about Matt Jordan. Certainly he's been to Spain, you said, Argentina. He's signed, made some great signings, Raul Rodriguez. And Owen Coyle and Matt have said repeatedly there's more to come.
Yeah, we're always working to get better. And I think one of the things that I've noticed and learned during this process is it's going to take a little bit more time than I thought for both Matt and Owen to get into play the everything they want, the style they want, the players they want. So this is an ongoing evolution. This wasn't a situation where you just make your signings in the off season and you move on. I think you saw the move we made a few weeks ago is a small example of that, with Alex coming in and Jason Johnson going out. You know, we're always going to be looking to make moves that are going to put us in a better position, and you know, we're not looking to just you know, be a nice team this year. We want to be a really good team and a very competitive team, a team that can make a run for it all, and we think that's possible. But we're going to have to continue to build in order to do so.
All right, next up, the Texas Derby against FC Dallas. I got to think the players, the front office, it's just great to be in the Western Conference and getting three matches with FC Dallas again.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's, that rivalry, I think, fell backwards a little bit over the years because we'd only played each other one time a year, and sometimes you'd have to go more than 2 years without seeing the, you know, the Dynamo play FC Dallas in our stadium, depending on the timing of the match and when it fell. So it's good to know that every year they'll be here, and we'll at least once, if not twice, and we'll be going up there. So we want that cannon back, El Capitan. And that's a good storyline and brings a lot of energy. And if you think last weekend was crazy, I'm expecting the same type of craziness this Friday when FC Dallas comes in.
Yeah, and then it's a quick turnaround because a couple of days later, it's Dominic Kinnear and the San Jose Earthquakes in on a Tuesday night. So it's going to get thick and heavy here, these next two games, vital to get points for the Houston Dynamo. Let's just go to the business of the Dynamo a little bit now, Chris, and let's talk about the USL Pro, because we know how important this is to all Major League Soccer teams. Some teams are off and running with it already, like Los Angeles and others, but where do the Dynamo sit right now with USL Pro?
Well, we will have a USL Pro team next year, 100%. There's no doubt about that. We believe in the value of having that team, and the bridge it creates between our academy and our first team, and the development opportunities it provides the players. I think everybody knows by now that we're working on a plan to have our USL Pro team in the Rio Grande Valley, down in Edinburgh, Texas. We're working with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, who own the NBA D-League team there. These are some folks who really believe in soccer. They really want to invest in the Dynamo and in this team, in providing some of the best facilities for our players in USL Pro to be treated like professional players in a very classy manner, and to help us extend our brand to an important part of this region for us, and also open the doors for potentially player identification in that part of the country. So there's lots of benefits to it. There's some drawbacks as well, but when you look at the whole picture, this is a model that we're looking at and believing in.
Let's talk a little bit about the change in sort of the makeup of the team. This team now really reflects Houston. You know, Hondurans, you got Cubo Torres coming, you got Spaniards, you got a real mix of players now that reflect a very international city. Does the marketing plan and the way you promote and present the team to the community, does that change in any way with, you know, the new diversity of player that's coming in?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we're trying to, now that we have, I believe it's 8 players, if I'm not mistaken, of Hispanic origin, we're trying to put that out there. We're trying to connect with this community more so You know, we have more players that can speak Spanish on camera now, for example, than we used to. Social media, digital media, there's so much more that we can do to connect with millennials that are Hispanic, you know, who are first generation that we can engage with. And especially when Kubo comes in, you'll see a dramatic shift in terms of what we're trying to do in reaching that audience, and hoping that it pays off with just the everything going to the next level, bigger attendance, more excitement, more energy, more coverage, you name it.
Chris, give us some ideas about some of the things that us on the outside don't get as far as what Kubo has brought, even though he hasn't kicked the ball here yet. What he's maybe brought as potential, and I know you can't get deep into it, but opportunity, energy, new groups reaching out to you. Are there things coming into the office daily around the excitement of Eric Kubo Torres coming here and things that obviously the Dynamo can take advantage of?
Well, there's plenty to take advantage of once the opportunity comes. I feel like, Glenn, right now we need to get him here, and we need people to see him. We need people to to be able, we need him to score goals. There's things that need to happen. I hope that Kubo continues to do well down in Mexico, both with Chivas and the national team, perhaps, score some more goals, gets recognition for Chivas' success, and he kind of builds a legend for himself. And it would be great for him to come in with that type of interest around him. But there's definitely people interested. There's definitely opportunities. It's just been really difficult to take advantage of those opportunities now, which is why we have a plan that's being built, so that once he gets his feet on the ground here and puts himself in a Dynamo orange uniform, that we can take advantage of it. And really, one of the challenges is not knowing when he's going to get here. As soon as his tour of duty is done with Chivas, we'll get him here. If that's before the May 13th transfer window, then we'll get him here before May 13th. If it's after the May 13th transfer window, the earliest he could be here is July 8th, and even in that scope, there's the possibility of him playing in the Gold Cup, which would extend that beyond. So the timing of it has also made it a challenge. But once he gets here, we have plenty of opportunity to try to go capture.
How do you activate Kubo, Chris, from a marketing perspective without infringing too much on what is his career as a soccer player?
Well, obviously there's some big Spanish media partners here that will take an interest in him, probably an interest on a level that's beyond any other player that we've ever had. So hopefully we see a spike in media coverage and attention around our team thanks to him. We need to get him out just like all of our players, grassroots, face-to-face, shaking hands, signing autographs, taking photos. That's literally the best way to connect with people. But to your point, we can't do that every day and every minute as he focuses on his playing career. But we will do that, and he's going to be a storyline that we push time and time again. And I really do believe that so long as our team is successful and he's scoring goals for us, that it has a real potential to fire up in a big way and create a lot of excitement around this team. With maybe more organic support than we've seen.
So that was Dynamo President Chris Kennedy. And again, a reminder, the Dynamo taking on FC Dallas. It is this Friday, May 1st, 7 p.m. is the kickoff for the Dynamo. All right, we'll take a break. Much more to come here. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. This is Dynamo All Access.
Listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, joining us now, Giles Barnes, after the Dynamo 4-4 draw against Sporting Kansas City. A reminder, the Dynamo in action against FC Dallas this Friday night. Giles, thanks very much for joining us here. Let's talk about this game, because it was a game that was incredibly unpredictable. It was hard to sort of figure out and find a definition to.
Yeah, it was, but the main thing for us is that we're picking up points again. A big thing for me, and I know for a couple of the other boys as well, after being a goal down, we showed the character to come back. And so, we thought we dominated the game from from probably minute 10 till 75, you know. There was an unfortunate mistake, which kind of gave them a little bit of the impetus at 3-2, you know, but I'll hold my hands up for that. And, you know, but we still would have fought a 3-2. We could have kind of kept it going. But it didn't end like that. But the main thing was we got more points on the board, and we're looking forward to the game on Friday.
All right, some spectacular goals for you. Before we get to that, let's go to the play, because we do know mistakes, different things can change the course of a game. It seemed at that point Kansas City may be done. What happened on that play in your mind?
Yeah, kind of just got the ball, went to turn back. Didn't actually see Dwyer, you know, I didn't really see there was any other pass on for me. So I went to kick it back to Tyler. Probably should have taken it with my left foot instead of took it with the outside of my right foot, you know, and then Dwyer's just kind of creeped in on it. It's good foreplay for anticipating it, and it's bad play on my behalf. So as I said, you know, I take the blame for that play. But, you know, we still battled towards the end. You know, we still thought we nearly nicked it at 4-3, even with a man down.
Look, you've always been an accountable player. How important is that in a locker room on any team, whether it was when you were at Derby, anywhere, to be accountable as a footballer?
Yeah, it is, you know. And obviously, you know, as Owen kind of said, you know, I'm one of the leaders on the team too. So I'm not just going to be there for the good times saying, oh, yeah, I did this, you know. If I'm accountable for something, I'm going to take the blame as well. You know, and I fully take the blame for that goal. There's no hiding away from it, and there's no shying away from it.
There's Dynamo striker Giles Barnes joining us. All right, you guys get back in the game 1-1. Will Bruin does some good digging, and then you lash in the beautiful volley. Take us through that goal.
Yeah, it was Will's hard work. Will, you know, he's been brilliant ever since he's not been in the team, and I thought he got his just rewards as well. You know, the hard work for my goal, and he managed to get himself on the score sheet as well. But, you know, it's persistence from him, and it's dropped me pretty kindly, and I've just hit it, and it's gone in.
Talk about coming back now, playing with Will, and your role being altered a little bit. You've played as the out-and-out striker most of the year. Now you're back in sort of the hole again. Speak about that and how you thought it went against Sporting Kansas City, because I'll tell you what, you were dangerous and electric for large portions of this game.
Yeah, you know, kind of coming up, playing with Will, he kind of takes a little bit more of the battering. It allows me to find little pockets of free space, and everyone knows I like to run and dribble with the ball and try and make things happen. So kind of playing that kind of 10 role, it kind of allows me to do that a little bit more.
Owen Coyle has obviously given you a tremendous amount of liberty in the final third here. I mean, it, as much as we said last year, Giles Barnes is a guy taking people on and creating, it just seems like there's even more this year, and I'm wondering if that comes directly from, you know, sort of the message the manager's saying.
Yeah, he allows me to literally, you know, to just go out and express myself. If I see something and I go to try and it doesn't work, I know that he's gonna back me to the end, you know, because that one time it does come off, it's gonna be a goal, it's gonna lead to an assist or something like that. And he's just not really putting any reins on us going forward. And that includes like me, Brad, Boniak, Alex, Will, Chandler, when they come on, they want us to go and express ourselves and enjoy playing football.
He's Giles Barnes joining us here. Let's go back to how consistently you were getting on the ball. Servando Carrasco had a rough night against you, obviously got subbed out. You seem to just be getting the ball in great pockets and just had tons of room to get turned. And, you know, it's a frightening sight if Giles Barnes is bearing down on you with a ball at his feet.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of my game, you know. And the midfielders behind me did a great job of getting the ball into me, you know. Raul trying to pick out the balls into me. But it's my job to just try and find the space to allow them to be able to see the pass to get it in there. And I thought they did it brilliant. And, you know, without the lads, I can't plan those little spaces either.
In the future, you see different teams coming to BBVA Compass Stadium. Maybe Dallas sits back to break out through Castillo and others. Do you think it's essential for this league, where it is, Giles, having played in the Premier League, having played in England, is it essential for this league to have teams like Sporting Kansas City, to their credit, that came to attack?
Yeah, you know. It's a big thing. You don't want to see someone come and just sit back and, you know, hold out for games. You want to see entertaining football, and you want to see people expressing themselves. And, you know, when you have people expressing themselves, that's when you're going to get the best out of every single person in the games. You know, they came to do that. But as I said earlier, I think we did a really good job after the first 10 minutes and until about minute 75 of really killing them, you know. I feel that was one of our best attacking and all-round performances of the season, and probably, in fact, for a very long time.
All right, from my vantage point, the TV booth, it seemed like players were confused. It seemed like the definition of the foul was very nebulous. It didn't seem consistent. Is that the way you guys felt out there?
Yeah, there's definitely some things that didn't go for us. Some kind of decisions that wasn't really happening for us when it's pretty obvious. But you can only control what you can actually be in control of, you know. So, you know, we just have to take the rough with the smooth.
You specifically, you were definitely targeted. You were fouled at least 6 to 9 times. I remember up to one point I was counting, it was 6 or 7. Did you feel like the referee protected you in this game?
It's kind of a loaded question.
It's kind of hard to answer that, you know, yeah. To be honest. Because he did call the fouls, but, you know, there's ways of doing about it. When I know constantly that I'm getting kicked and brought down, it's not the manner that you're being brought down, you know. Someone has a word with them, it kind of mute it for a little bit. When you're kind of doing those kind of fouls and getting away with it, it kind of thinks, okay, I can carry on doing it. But, you know, he did call fouls. Maybe certain things he could have done a little bit better, but, you know, that's part of football.
But as a player that's an attacker that does take people on, yeah, there's no doubt people are going to target you. Your name's going to be written on locker room boards now after the season you had last year. Do you feel like you're getting more and more attention now, Giles, from the opponent?
Yeah, for sure. Even off the ball, things that some people don't see. Some things I was kind of getting away with last year, I know that there's a little bit more impetus to put something on me, you know. But, you know, for me, that's a compliment. That means I'm doing my job. And as long as I can keep scoring goals and keep helping the team, then I don't mind how many hits I take.
All right, so what's people run by, giving you a little elbow, just trying to wind you up? What's happening off the ball without naming names?
Yeah, those kind of things, little elbows. I've had my back pinched. I've had a little head in the back of my head, knees into the back of my leg. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's all part and parcel of being a footballer.
Do you ever have a guy try to help you up and pinch the you-know-what out of you?
No. That could be a little bit too far.
I've seen that one before. In fact, I had a teammate who did that one, yeah, but I won't mention his name. All right, so let's talk a little bit about FC Dallas. It's probably exciting to be in the West now and get a run of games against them. It almost seems like every game's a rivalry because Sporting Kansas City is a great, intense rivalry. Now you got FC Dallas.
Yeah, it's always good to play rivals, you know, and this is our kind of local rival as well. Every time you play against Dallas, there's a little bit of extra spice added to it. You know, they're a good side. They've been playing well, but you know, the kind of form that we've been showing recently, we really fancy ourselves on Friday.
You know, they're different up there. They're a little posh. They act a little entitled up there in Dallas. You know, we're hardworking, blue-collar down here in Houston. We need to jive this up a little bit, right, for the benefit of the sport and the fans.
Yeah, for sure, you know. Yeah, you have certain teams and certain fans that act that way, you know. But we'll be showing them exactly how we do it in Houston, that's for sure.
Those elements are all a big part of it. It'll be Friday, the Dynamo taking on FC Dallas here. Health-wise, how are you doing?
A little bit banged up. Got a costochondral fracture in my ribs. That's a little bit sore, but should be fine for the weekend.
Giles, as always, thank you for your time. Congratulations on the great goals, and keep up the good work.
Nice one. Thanks, Glenn.
All right, striker Giles Barnes joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Our thanks to Bud Light. Bud Light, the official sponsor of the Houston Dynamo. Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio. They're also the official sponsor of the Mexican national team. Bud Light, supporting the game of soccer and soccer on the radio for years.
Presented by Bud Light on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. From high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
Joining us now, Dynamo striker Will Bruhn, off two great games against DC United and now against Sporting Kansas City. This was insanity at BBVA Compass Stadium. This was up and down. Nobody knew what was happening.
Yeah, it was a crazy game. It was definitely different. Whenever you see a 4-4 score line, you know it's going to be an entertaining game for the fans. But we would have liked the 3 points, but we took one.
All right, you're really getting back into the mix here in a big way. Great flick on that led to the goal in D.C. Your fight really led to that ball falling to Giles Barnes for the tying goal. Then you get the spectacular header. You got to be feeling in a pretty confident place right now.
Yeah, anytime you're getting opportunities to play and show what you can do and creating in the offensive third, that's good. You know, with limited opportunities so far this year, I'm taking every one I get, knowing that maybe it could be your last. So you don't want to leave anything in the locker room. You want to leave it all out on the field, and I think so far I've been doing an all right job of that.
Yeah, talk about this year. You go to a different system. You're not playing as much, a new manager. I mean, you've told me before this has been good for you.
Yeah, you definitely, whenever there's the most competition you can have at a spot, brings out the best in everybody. It's kind of like you got to recreate yourself a little bit. It's everybody starts from scratch. Owen Gaffer doesn't really. I mean, he respects what people have done in the past, but he doesn't. That doesn't guarantee you a spot. So it starts on the training field every day, and you got to earn your minutes. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's been very interesting from the media perspective. I think the fan perspective, because people really don't know what's going to happen game by game. Lineups are different. Tactics are different. Bench is different. Is it keeping all of you guys as players sort of with your antennas up?
Yeah, exactly. I think everybody's on their toes. I think the feeling is, hey, at any given time, anybody can insert into that lineup. And I think that keeps the starting 11 on their toes. I think that keeps the guys on the bench on their toes for a starting spot. And then the guys that aren't making the bench are on their toes to try to get into the bench. So there's no set lineup. There's nothing set in stone. And I think that's something that has made trainings very competitive, and I think it's leading over to the games.
All right, what about the fact that you know, the games are coming pretty thick and heavy here now? You got FC Dallas coming here on Friday. You turn it around against San Jose, your old manager Dom Kinnear. Exciting times, but very important times here to bank some points, right?
Exactly. We've gone into this little three home game standard against Kansas City. We wanted 9 total points. Unfortunately, we got 1 in that game, but we bounce right back with the gaffer's been calling it a derby game. But he says back home it's only 10 miles for a derby game, when here it's 250. But, you know, it's still a rival game, so it'll be fun. That every time we play Dallas, it's always a battle. And then with Dom coming back to town on Tuesday, that'll be fun as well.
All right, so back to you and your performance and this year. I mean, scoring this first goal and in spectacular fashion off a Brad Davis set piece. I mean, this was a class goal, a special goal. What did it mean to you? Because ultimately, you are a goal scorer. This was your 36th in MLS regular season play.
Yeah, that one felt good. I think with everything that's gone on so far at the beginning of this year with limited minutes, I think that it was good for me to get that first one. And the longer it dragged on, I mean, the more pressure I might put on myself. But it's good to get it out of the way. It felt good. It was a good time in the game going into halftime. Brad obviously put in a great ball, and I just had to redirect it.
A lot of self-analyzation now. You know, when you come off a new season, you have to reboot yourself for a new manager. You know, how do you look at yourself? Do you say, hey, I got to redefine my game at all? Or how does that all work for you as a player?
For me, I think it makes the little things that you do that much more important. As being the striker up top, you got to hold the ball. You got to be an outlet. You got to flick balls on goal kicks. Just little hustle plays and stuff help the team, and it goes a long way. And I think you take care of little things, the bigger scheme of things will come together. And I think that's ultimately what happened with the goal.
He's Dynamo striker Will Bruin, had a goal and assist against Sporting Kansas City. Is that part of your job, sort of occupying defenders, wearing them down so that you can create space for others?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the more I can batter into center backs and kind of rough them up, I think they start to get a little upset, and then that opens up space underneath me for Giles. That opens up space out wide for the wide guys, and I think the more I can wear and tear on people, the more opportunities it's going to give other guys. And then ultimately, when I get in the box, that'll give me opportunity as well.
How about the move to the Western Conference, Will? Is it exciting in a way that you're going to get to play some of these different teams in different environments and see them a little bit more often?
Yeah, it's definitely. I've played in the East my whole professional career, and then this year we're in the West. The cities are nice cities to go visit. The team, the style of play, I think, is a little different in the West. I think anybody. I don't know who's going to advance in the West. That's how tight it is, along with the whole league. But I think the West is pretty stacked.
Will Bruin joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, ahead of FC Dallas. All right, so it's been a while since you've had a number of games against FC Dallas. It's usually one game a year. This is the first of three. Tell me a little bit about what you see from FC Dallas, because lately their season's been a bit interesting as well.
Yeah, they started off on fire. Castillo is one of the best players in the league. He's got pace, he's got skill, he's creative. I think if you can contain him, then I think you can kind of contain their attack. Obviously, they're going to be without Blas Perez for a red card, so they'll just, I'm not sure who they'll swap. Oh, they'll put Akindele in there probably. So they definitely have numbers that can go forward, guys that can finish, but I think the key for them is containing Castillo.
And you just proved to me that you're very in tune to other teams here. You already had a replacement for Blas Perez. How much do you study the other team? How much is enough? Because you can sometimes over-prepare thinking about an opponent. How do you do that?
To be honest, I don't study them. I more like last week they played Friday night, so I was able to watch them at home. They played against Colorado, so I watched them. I more watch it as a fan, but also critiquing just on things that, hey, what can I exploit when I'm playing them? So it's just knowing personnel and knowing what Hedges likes to do, what he doesn't like to do, what his soft spot is. But I'm sure Owen will give us a lot more information when it gets closer to Friday.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Do you look at the center backs specifically to see what their tendencies are? Maybe you see one that at times can overcommit trying to get in front of you. Do you look at the center backs?
Yeah, for sure. You look at the pairing, and then the first thing I see with Lloyd and Hedges is we're probably going to kick over to Lloyd's side without giving too much away, obviously, because Hedges is better in the air. But just knowing where you are on the field and who you're matching up against can determine different types of runs or styles of play.
Now, coming off a game where you guys were the number one team defensively in the league coming into this, you give up four goals in this game. Coming back to that great team shape, married with good ball pressure, not conceding a lot of goals, I got to think is very important against FC Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. They're a team that can burn you on the counter. So I think if we're smart with possession of the ball and we don't make it into a track race, then we'll be all right. As long as we get it moving side to side and pick our chances to go and kind of just contain them on the break, we're a tough team to get through and break down. And I think it all starts with our possession.
There are differences subtly this year to this team. What are they under Owen Coyle, and how does that benefit a striker like you?
Yeah, we're definitely, I think, more, I'd say, possession-oriented. Owen definitely gives you the freedom to do what you want in the final third. You can, he always says, express yourself. So that's something that guys aren't going to be scared to do something if they mess up in the final third. That's all right, because there's numbers behind them to kind of help them out. But we really emphasize on getting the ball wide, kind of keeping it, and just keeping good shape defensively.
Has it been refreshing for you to have, 12 new teammates, different personalities, people you got to get to know, understand their tendencies and qualities?
Yeah, exactly. It's like I said, it's kind of like reinventing yourself, kind of showing what you can do again, and that kind of gives you some more energy every day at training. So you're excited to go out and play, and I think it's been a lot of turnover, but sometimes change is good.
Will, great visiting with you. Congratulations getting off and running in the goal-scoring column and setting up others. We wish you the best of luck against FC Dallas.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. Always fun.
All right. The one and only Will Bruin. Last two games looking incredibly sharp for the Dynamo. It's the Dynamo FC Dallas this Friday night.
Technique. You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we wrap it up in big style, and before I get to our special guest, quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you that things are happening down at BBVA Compass Stadium this summer. You got the Gold Cup. You got all kinds of great activity down there, including the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. Bud Light reminds you, get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you can get your tickets to all these games. Also over to BBVACompass.com is where you can get tickets for the Gold Cup. And by the way, Jamaica will be playing Canada in that, and you'll have a shot at seeing the likes of Giles Barnes and Jermaine Taylor representing the Reggae Boys. Bud Light, tremendous sponsors of the game of soccer. They are global, just like the game. Our thanks to Bud Light for supporting soccer on the radio. With that, we bring in from Munich, Germany, of Talking Fußball, my good friend Sal Mithas. Sal, how are you?
Good evening, Glenn. Good evening to everybody.
All right, so listen, let's get right into this, because today, huge Borussia Dortmund 2-0 on penalty kicks after extra time, knock Bayern Munich out of the cup in Germany, and this means the treble is history.
And not only the trouble, this is the first time Germany have lost the domestic cup title for almost 3 years. And, this is good for German football. For all the clubs here, anyone other than Bayern winning is great. And especially for Dortmund, they've had a rough season. This was their moment of glory, a Super Bowl, you can call it, a chance for a title after so much expectations and falling short. And now they got their coach leaving. And when the key is with Jürgen Klopp leaving, they will remember that he's the reason why they can battle with Bayern. And What a game by Aussie Mitch Langerak, the goalkeeper. Spoke to him 2 years ago. He was just waiting for his chance. I think he's ready, Glenn.
Yeah, and by the way, this was at the Allianz Arena, the home of Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich right. outshooting Dortmund 19-10, six on target, four on target for Borussia Dortmund. You know, I think you bring a great point up. It is healthy, isn't it, when the Giants get beat? Because, look, Bayern Munich's been cherry-picking all the great players of Borussia Dortmund over the years.
Yeah, actually, the guy who scored the first goal, Lewandowski, he's been the stable there, Robert Lewandowski. You know, he left Dortmund for Bayern. And then Mario Götze, the young guy who scored the winning goal in the World Cup. You know, they're cherry-picking those guys. And that's one of the reasons why Dortmund has struggled this year, because of, you know, unable to get that talent. And, of course, Klopp losing his, and I mentioned it last week, you know, the inspiration getting his team. But you know, Glenn, you mentioned it last week about a wake-up call to Bayern. This was their first defeat of consequence. Sure, they lost at Porto, but they still had their second leg. So perhaps this will help them against Barca, knowing that they cannot fall behind when they play the first game next week. But with the injuries, now Lewandowski had a concussion check afterwards. Thiago also with an injury. And then Robin, who came in, had to leave at the end. And with Ribery questionable, this was a major shot to Bayern's confidence. How they react, how they recover will be key.
Yeah, and I want to get into that a little bit right now because, you know, with them drawing Barcelona, injuries here, what's the reaction from the fans and everybody in Munich now that Dortmund knocks off Bayern in this? I mean, is there a little bit of a panic? Is there a real concern now about sort of the fallout ahead of Barcelona?
Yeah, that armor, as you would say, or, you know, since we're talking about Avengers next week coming to the theaters, that unbeatable metal, that unbelievable superpower that they had has now been shown even more brightly. And with those injuries, I mean, you can say, okay, you know what, it was a fluke thing. We had our best team out there. Ribery and Robin were ineffective tonight. You know, Schweinsteiger, even Neuer was human. I mean, my gosh, Neuer, his first time you've seen him become a human. But all the, you know, they weren't at full strength. And so can they recover against the time? We've seen some of their kryptonite showing against, I know I'm mixing superhero things here, but against Porto and Donetsk. We're talking about three of the top European teams. Whether they got Juventus, if they got Real Madrid, we saw what they did to them last year, but now they have Barcelona and Messi. And, yeah, they're scared that they went from winning a treble 24 hours ago to maybe just winning the Bundesliga title.
How about in the post-game presser? How did Pep Guardiola act?
Unfortunately, I had to leave early, and I was looking before the match. So, you know, perhaps by the time everyone listens to the show, they can see his disappointment. But there was one key shot where Klopp ran on the pitch to celebrate with his player, ran right past Pep Guardiola, who was actually watched him run by. I guess he was waiting for a handshake. But Guardiola got a little taste of his own medicine where sometimes he just shakes his finger at the opposing coach and runs off the pitch. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I don't think this is going to hurt Pep as much because I think Barca is that big fish that they want, or the Champions League is what they really want. We'll see if that comes back to bite him. But they won't have their medical doctor to blame if they're not 100% because they already got rid of him.
It's unbelievable, the accountability. We're going to blame it on a doctor who's been there for many, many years. He's Sal Mitha. He's talking football. Again, Bayern Munich and Barcelona coming up. I mean, you could not have put together a better scenario here with Pep Guardiola being the legendary coach at Barca and now taking on Bayern. How ratcheted up are people getting for this in Munich?
Yeah, no, it's great because, you know, it's not going to be ho-hum. As I mentioned, now we got a Bayern team that's kind of shaking. This is the same Barcelona team that came in 2 years ago, also a little bit injured. Messi wasn't 100%. So maybe there could be some, you know, there's going to be some revenge on the mind also for Bayern to try to get back to the final. And think about it, what's terrible for Bayern, they could have played two finals in Berlin. They could have stayed in Berlin for the rest of May because the Champions League finals in Berlin, and they always play the German Cup final in Berlin. They might even miss out on all in Berlin. So the team, this is their saving grace. And yes, they won the Bundesliga title. They won it very easily because Wolfsburg lost on Sunday. So this was an easy march to the season. The key will be, can they win the Champions League? And so they're going to be happy to beat Barcelona to get there, and then they're going to face a strong Real Madrid to get revenge. But they still have to get to Berlin.
Sal Mitha, talking football, joining us here. Hey, look. Do you have any insight into where you think Jurgen Klopp is going to end up? I'm hearing all the rumors, but you being in Germany, there may be something else going on there. Do you hear any rumors of where you think he'll end up?
Nothing more than, you know, who would replace Klopp, and we mentioned it that they wanted a German for Dortmund. So Klopp, as I mentioned, you know, he got the taste of the English media when they played. He takes some time off. He says he's tired of coaching at Dortmund, but he's not tired at all of coaching. He wants to coach. It's not one of those situations where a coach says, I need some time from the game and he spent time with my family. He just was sick and tired now of the situation at Dortmund. He did everything he could. It just wasn't working, but he feels he can coach. So I think any club, especially after what he just did tonight in Munich, any club would want a coach who can turn things around and, using the right amount of players and right amount of talent, be able to win, if not titles, but try to get to the top game.
He is Sal Meath of Talking Fußball. And again, we take you around the world. We are calling to Munich, Germany tonight, and this is live, and Sal is up at this hour. So, Sal, again, we do appreciate you being up for this. By the way, missed penalty kicks. Philipp Lahm, Thiago, Mario Götze, and Manuel Neuer. Manuel Neuer, the goalkeeper, one of the top choices of Pep Guardiola to take penalties. Interesting.
Well, you know, he's become more than just a goalkeeper. He's that fifth defender, and he does everything he can. But still questionable. Think about it. You went with Lahm, and actually, if you go back, Lahm, the first two kicks, Lahm slipped, and so did the second kick, Alonso. So you had those guys kicking it first. Usually you would have Robin. Robin has been spot on. What happened to Müller? Maybe he was saving Müller to win it. And of course, and you got Bastian Schweinsteiger, who is the pseudo captain, but also the clutch kicker. So to me, it was kind of questionable that he had this lineup started off. Usually you want to get the first two kicks in, three kicks in, and put the pressure on the other team. But by missing the first one and then Dortmund making the first two, the pressure was on. Neuer got a save, but then he hit the bar, and then it was over.
Unbelievable drama in Germany today, and let's talk a little bit about the relegation battle in Germany.
Sure.
and promotion, because this is equally as exciting as everything that's going on there.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that the relegation battle and the promotion battle is also tied in with the last European spots. But, you know, let's talk about relegation. You got two traditional names of Germany, Hanover and Hamburg, fighting to stay out of relegation playoffs. Hanover is at Wolfsburg, probably licking their chops after losing the Bundesliga title last weekend. And you got Hamburg at Mainz, who beat Schalke 2-0 last weekend. So Freiburg is at Stuttgart. They're just above Hanover. If they don't want to be pulled in the fray, they need to win this week, or we can see them sink. But two traditional clubs, one of them, and Hamburg have never been relegated. This will be history in the making there if they go down. They actually have a clock in their stadium to show how many minutes and hours and seconds they've been in the Bundesliga. And I've been joked many times by Talking Fußball fans that, Sal, are you waiting for that clock to go off? Yes, I'm waiting for that clock to go off.
Sal Meatha joining us here. Hanover 96, by the way, assistant coach there now is Steve Cherundolo. Just reflect very quickly here on what a legend he is at Hanover, because I don't think sometimes he gets really the notoriety here in the United States for career abroad. You know, everybody kind of goes to Premier League guys, but man, what a career, and what an adored guy he is and revered guy he is at Hanover.
Yeah, you know, after moving to Germany and after that World Cup in 2002, I got, to get to know some of the players. And I was like, oh, my God, Steve Cherundolo. And he helped Hanover get up into the Bundesliga. So he was there in the second league and playing at the top level. He's been a captain there, and he's helped that team, and also playing internationally. He's one of those guys where, you know, when the people have the pictures of players and you have no idea who they are, you know, they're not a Messi, they're not a Robin, they're not a Ronaldo. He's one of those players that they have a picture of. So when you get your picture in the fan curve, in the fan section, Cherundolo is one of those players that the fans revere him. They know where he came from, that he's a foreigner. He's helped their team get into the first league and stay there. But now, unfortunately, as assistant coach, not as successful as they're fighting to stay up, but hopefully they can stay up. But definitely one of those players, like you said, we talk about the Premier League, we talk about the Tim Howards and the Casey Kellers as goalkeepers, but this is a guy that plays in the middle of the pitch, has been a symbol of toughness for that club. All the Americans have seen him for the American team. That's exactly what he's exhibited at Hanover, that leadership and that toughness.
Always have loved how tactically he has played the right back position and has helped control the right side of the field. I don't think I'm going out on a limb saying probably the greatest right back the United States has ever had.
We need more of those.
Yeah, we certainly do. All right, Sal, listen, great job tonight. Thank you for wrapping it up in style from Munich, Germany. Give us a little German as we say goodnight to you.
Yeah, auf Wiedersehen, bitte gerne.
Thank you, Sal. Great job tonight. So Sal wrapping it up here. We wrap it up as well. A reminder, get over to Facebook, Soccer Matters. That's where we have all kinds of topics over there, cutting-edge news. You get opinion from me. We go back and forth. A lot of people with great commentary over there. Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc. Don't forget the podcast of this show available on ESPN975.com. Go to the audio vault. Click Soccer Matters. For producer Michael Carroll, I'm Glenn Davis, and I say goodnight.